On Reddit, true crime doesn't come from journalists. It comes from the victims, the witnesses, and sometimes the suspects themselves.
Every Tuesday on Crimes of Reddit, we read these posts out loud.
I'm Sabrina Dianaroga.
And I'm Alexis Linkletter. One of us brings the story, the other goes in blind, reacting in real time, just like you.
New episodes drop every Tuesday. Listen to and follow Crimes of Reddit, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
In 1919, he hit 29 home runs and was sold to the New York Yankees.
A three-run home run for Buffington. The Yankees now lead it by a score of 3-2. Bill Lee is now going over to a couple of the Yankees, and there they go again.
Tech and A-Rod going at it. Roberts is going. Posada's throw. Roberts, safe.
What can I say? Just dip my heart and call the Yankees my daddy.
Ryan Jackman here. John Senecal here. It is episode 244 of Fan Base, a deep dive into the greatest rivalry in sports. Yeah, I'm in the basement here just off my radio show. Obviously, no video in the radio show. I'm like 6'9 with the hair this morning because I usually have the headset on, but I'm not doing that for the podcast. John, how are you?
I'm good, Brian. I'm good. I'm weathering the weather in the Northeast. It went from 120 degrees to like 60 degrees.
And, I know.
Like they say, it's New England.
Tons of water. My basement's taking on water as we speak. I got to figure out how to do some sort of dry well or something because I'm taking on water. The Red Sox, speaking of taking on water, no. They've actually won a couple in a row to end their road trip. I'm not going to give too much detail into a team update. I just crunched a few of the numbers, and the bottom line is they got 74 games left. If they want to finish over 500 in the 74, they have to go 42-32. And I don't think 82 wins gets you in the playoffs, but it's not going to be far off.
And no, especially the way the AL is. Especially the way
it's so screwed up. I mean, I can't tell you how screwed up it is. This team is so bad. They're in last place. They're 8 games under 500, and they're only 4 games out of the wild card. Now, there's like a half a dozen teams they have to leapfrog. But if they go out, if they win, I mean, first of all, a 6 or 7 game winning streak is not out of the realm of anybody's possibility, even the Rockies and the Red Sox. So if they cranked out 6 or 7 in a row and leapfrogged 3 teams in the wild card, they'd be 1 or 2 out with 1 or 2 teams in front of them. I mean, it's freaking bananas because I can't stand the team and they're terrible. But mathematically, they're not in terrible shape.
No, but the way you put it too, Brian, and the reality of it is a lot of teams are in the same position. So there's so much to go through, and there's so many teams to go through. And then there's also the fact is, what are those teams going to do?
Buyers or sellers, right? Are they going to buy or are they going to sell?
Well, obviously, like, you know, especially coming out of the All-Star break, right? I mean, I point to like Detroit. That's a huge one. I mean, I think they're even in more of a predicament than the Red Sox because they are surging too, and they could easily win that division because that division's a joke. As is in the way the AL East is kind of a joke too, because, you know, the way the Yankees have played, and they're still in it, and it, like, I don't really know what the Red Sox do because you look at the team and you look at the ownership and everything points to get rid of Sonny Gray, get rid of Roldis Chapman, get rid of whoever you can, probably not Contreras, but get rid of maybe, you know, the if you can throw Tristan Campbell into a deal or maybe a Marcel Meyer, even though he's injured, you know, those guys try to get rid of him. But as a Red Sox fan, if for you, Brian, and as a person that's in Boston and listens to the radio, they fluctuate by game. One time they're saying sell, and the next time they're saying they're still in it. And that's, and the reality is, and that's a lot of the AL. That's basically 2/3 of the AL.
Yeah, I just wonder. I mean, I think that obviously people will be upset if they don't buy, but I think it's hard to justify buying. And the problem with the Red Sox is, say you sell on somebody like Sonny Gray, who's been their best starter, right? They have so many pieces that they need to be good. Like, they're not looking at 1 or 2. They're looking at 3 or 4. Like, they're so far from being a top-end team that I don't really know. I mean, I can't imagine they would buy.
Do they do it now? I mean, instead of waiting around and maybe all of a sudden in 3 weeks they're as the deadline approaches, they're actually closer and they're game and a half. And then the fans are like, you can't.
Or but if Marcelo and if Roman Anthony was having a season and Marcelo was doing well and they had like, and Duran was more consistent, because when Duran's good, he's good.
Yeah, it's like none of the guys that are supposed to be doing anything are doing anything. So right, where's so the expectation?
Three young guys, if they had three young guys who were crushing it, I'd say, you know what? Let's sell the pieces and let's regroup for a push. But the young guys are not doing that good, or they're not playing. So there's no way to know. So the bottom line is, I don't know. I wouldn't buy, but I mean, I just, they still have a chance.
I don't see him buying. I don't see him buying at all. And I see him, if anything, they'll just deal the one piece that they know they can completely deal right now is Sonny Gray. I mean, he could go in an instant and you'll get something for him, which is good. Chapman is too much of a loose cannon. We all know what Contreras is. He's a mess. And the rest of the team, like you said, is a mess. And then let's switch to the Yankees real quick here, because speaking of a mess, right? I mean, we all know they're a mess. But I feel like, you know, the problem is they need to do kind of the same thing, Brian, right? They need to solve an issue before the issue needs to solve itself at the All-Star break. The catching position is an absolute disaster, and that's the one thing they can't solve internally. Now, I say they can't solve it internally because they've tried. They've brought guys up from AAA, and they've been a disaster. They can, in a way, solve the hitting between Volpe and Jazz. Maybe you platoon them based on the matchup, and you get Volpe, basically you're playing second base until we figure this out, and Jazz can't hit either left-handed pitchers, so you maybe platoon them. Start Caballero all the time at short, but you got to fix the catching position, and it's going to be fixed at the deadline, the guaranteed that will get fixed by the Yankees. There's no doubt about that. But what I'm saying is it needs to be fixed now. Like, you can't wait 10 more games. You just can't do it. You can't do it. And like, as you're playing the Rays now and you just won the opening series with three hits, Brian, and all three were home runs. It's the first time it's ever happened in franchise history, Brian. Huh. And these Yankees keep doing these things. It's the first time it's happened, but it's not good stats. Like, anybody that looks at that as good is crazy. But right. Think about that. Mm-hmm. And two of them were by Caballero. All right. So the Yankees are not only a complete disaster when it comes to hitting, they can't field. They're giving up like basically two unearned runs a game. Like, you can't win baseball games like that. But that being said, they're playing the Rays right now, so nothing is more important than right now for the Yankees. Like, if you can actually sweep, like, yeah, you won the first game, but you got three more coming. If you can sweep them, you're sitting pretty because you're right back in first place. You have some momentum. You figure out going into the All-Star break what the team is going to do. But again, you have to solve the catching problem.
Now, if they win three or four, they win three or four, they'd be tied?
Yeah, they're only three back now. Yeah, so
any news on Judge?
Nothing. There isn't even a sniff on him yet. So like I said, you know, like, he's probably minimum maybe after the All-Star break, and then you're probably 3 weeks minimum before he's game ready. You're looking at least another month before Judge is back. You hope by September, right, Brian? You hope. But like, again, like, are you going to get that answer in 2 weeks? I know they're not going to tell you. They're not going to tell you until you know what the imaging came back is. They're not going to be like, oh, Judge is going tomorrow to get image. Because then the whole world's going to stop MLB, you know. But I say at least a month and a half, Brian. Really. I mean, you're looking at late August, I would think, if you're lucky. That's a long time with, like, literally one of the best players in baseball.
Yeah. I mean, I wonder, like, is it just because I don't even know the extent of the injury, so it's hard to know. But it just
seems- and Stanton's missed 64 games with an injury that he, I don't even know. Like,
Stan, you know, he's not going to give you a season. So that's just, I mean, that's
64 games, Brian. I mean, who's more soft, Roman Anthony or Giancarlo Stanton? And if we're just looking at this season, not track record, because we know it's Giancarlo because he misses like 80 games a year. But. If you look at this year, who's more soft?
I don't know. I just – the Anthony stuff, I just think the karma in that clubhouse is bad. I mean, I don't know
how – How do you get away with not even talking about it? Like, nobody cares. I don't get it.
It is weird. And it is strange. And it used to be such an intense dynamic covering that team, and maybe it's apathy. I don't know. Maybe they have bad reporters. But
I'm sorry, but the World Cup hangover is officially started. It's over, right? Like, the U.S. is out. Boston gave up. Like, they gave up on the Fan Fest. They're not even doing that. They pulled the plug on Fan Fest. So it's like, that's not an excuse anymore.
Yeah, well, I'll talk. Listen, let's talk about the All-Star game quick, then we'll end on the World Cup, because I have a couple of things I want to say.
Okay.
Sonny Gray's not going to make the team. He's not going to get to be a late ad. Is that what you're telling me?
Well, I don't know, because Ranger Suarez is apparently hurt. He has got some sort of injury himself. And you know how these injuries happen, Brian, around the All-Star break. A lot of these guys get conveniently injured. But that being said, Ranger Suarez knows he doesn't deserve to be there, but he is a lefty, so maybe that isn't part of the reason why he's there over Sonny Gray. But come on, Sonny Gray is 10-1 with a 2.6 ERA. I mean, what are we doing here? How is that guy not on the All-Star team, dude? Find a spot for him. I mean, that's it. Like,
he'll get there. I feel like he'll get there.
He'll get there. Yeah. He'll get there.
I mean,
but, you know, let's talk about the guys real quick who are there. And Mike Trout is coming off the injured list. He had a very good start to his season. He got injured, and now he's coming off the injured list, I believe, today or yesterday. He's off, but it's going to be his 12th All-Star. He got voted in. Now, who knows if he'll actually start at TBD. Maybe he'll just go there and be Mike Trout hanging out in Philly near his hometown. Chris Sale, former Red Sox boy, you'd like to have him back, right? 10th All-Star game. Same with Freddie Freeman. Bryce Harper is getting his 9th All-Star appearance, and he's getting the Legends pick. Now, a lot of people will say that's a lucky pick, but it's not. Harper's having a good year. He's batting like 280 with 20 home runs and like 50-something RBI. So, yes, hometown pick. You want to see him because it's in Philadelphia. But Bryce Harper is having a good season. And real quick, let's talk about the one guy who is actually pretty interesting story here, Brian. Michael Wacha. Is 11-year gap between All-Star appearances. 2015 was his last All-Star appearance.
And when another former Red Sox pitcher, by the way.
Yep, that was with the Cardinals. Now this time he's with the Royals. And congratulations to Michael Wacha. That's pretty impressive. And then, you know, a lot of these things will switch in and out. Judge got voted in. He's not going to be there, obviously. Byron Buxton just got hurt again. Shocker. He got voted in. Probably he's not going to make it. Vladdy already bowed out, so Nick Kurtz will in. I got my wish. Yep. Freddie Freeman, Albies, Max Muncy's making his fourth All-Star appearance, but third different position, second base, third base, and first base he's been at. And this one he starts at third. CJ Abrams, Brandon Marsh, Soto is back. You know, Soto deserves it. He can hit. I mean, say what you want about him not hustling and being a head case or whatever. The guy can play baseball. He can hit. Andy Páez, center fielder for the Dodgers. Otani's back as usual. Drake Baldwin, the runner-up, the former Rookie of the Year from last year, catching for the NL. He makes it. Ernie Clement, top voter, second baseman. Canada vote for AL. Junior Caminero, who's insane for the Rays, probably MVP if it wasn't for Yordan, who also made it in the AL as a DH. And we talked about Buxton, Judge, and Trout, and, of course, Bobby Witt Jr. at shortstop. It's going to be interesting. And then you sprinkle in the pitchers and the backups. You know, a lot of people will say the backups like Pete Crow Armstrong or Corbin Carroll or Matt Olson, Sal Stewart, those kind of guys should be starting. And you're going to say that every year, but they're going to be there representing their teams.
Yeah. John Senecal, Brian Shackman, episode 244 of Fanbase, a deep dive into the greatest rivalry in sports. I was heavily invested in the World Cup stuff. You know, these are not hot takes you won't hear everywhere else. I do believe that the president getting involved to get that guy restored. No, I actually think it had a collective cloud over the whole game, in my opinion, from the way the players played to the fans. It just felt weird because, like, did he deserve this is Flo Balogun, who got a red card and was suspended for the game. Then supposedly the president talked to, you know, Infantino, the head of FIFA, and they suspended the suspension. The red card he got was not merited. Pretty much everybody knows that. But the way it got lifted felt a little bit dirty, and so it felt weird to everybody, and obviously motivated Belgium to play their asses off. And that's one part of it, because it was hard to get excited, because obviously you're going to cheer for the USA, but it felt weird. And I felt bad for the kid, because he's just this kid trying to play the best he can, and all of a sudden he gets pulled into international politics. And then the other thing that translates to all sports, including baseball, is, you know, we'll find out somehow they'll float it that Christian Pulisic was injured or whatever. But the bottom line is that this was a tournament where the stars have been stars. From Mbappe to Erling Haaland to Messi, all the stars have performed. And our star didn't. Now, they'll say he was hurt or whatever, but the bottom line is they needed a leader. They needed somebody to take over. And everyone was looking around. If you watch the game, everyone was looking around to some other guy to do the freaking work. And I love the team. I like all the guys. I just, they were all looking for somebody else to step up, and nobody did. And that falls on your star, Pulisic. So I was really disappointed. It ends on a really bitter taste for me, because otherwise it was really, really fun.
Yeah, I mean, let's be honest. The team wasn't going to win the whole thing, right? But they could have went. They could have played better. There could have been better circumstances. The red card, obviously. You know, I've watched enough soccer with my kids playing it. I don't know all the rules, but I know watching that at the time, it wasn't a red card. And I know if you go to the sideline and you watch the replay 1,000 times or how many different angles you got, I don't know how you warrant the red card. So the whole thing falls apart right there. Let's be honest. Right. But the one thing that comes out of this to me is the meme, right? The Trump memes and the red card memes and all that. Like it's just funny because that's society, right? You can always count on it. Like no matter what, we're going to figure out a way to make something funny, and we're going to figure out a way to internet it, right? That's what we do nowadays. So I thought that was good. But yeah, I agree with you, Brian. Anytime politics becomes anything in sports or in general, like we always say, don't bring it up at the dinner table, right? So don't involve it in sports. You can say it. FIFA is more corrupt than anything on the planet, right?
Correct.
So I'm sure Trump, if he did do this, you know, I'm sure he did. If he said it, you know, he loves to talk about the things he did. I'm sure there was threats. I'm sure there was a lot of things about billions of dollars, and we're here, and this is the U.S., and we're welcoming you and you bastards and all that. But
I don't even think he had to do that. To be honest, I have to tell you, I think Infantino and him are buddies. And he's like, look at it, and you got to do something about it. Maybe he threatened, but I mean, I think this guy
is. I don't get why it has to get to that. And that's the problem, right? I feel like in a way, it's like whoever this ref was that watched this initially, I don't know what country he's from or what his track record is, but maybe there's an axe to grind. Like, why? How do you do that?
I even think the ref in the Belgium game felt like he was against.
Knowing the implications,
US.
Right? Right, knowing the implications too, like that's a huge implication there to dole that out on such a just an arbitrary call. Anyways, all right, so let's get to the game. I'm watching the game, and I can tell right away, right, that it's like watching eighth grade soccer. It's like, okay, the ball's coming to me. Where's the best kid on the field? Oh wait, he's already down there because he took the shot on the goal, so he hasn't back to take care of this play. And like you said, everyone's looking around at each other, like, what are we doing here? And it's like, oh, the goalie comes out and the goalie takes one and is like, just clear the ball. Like sometimes you don't need to be foo-foo, I call it. You don't have the nice pass out and play by the standard rules. Like kick the ball and just kick the damn thing out. If you have to kick it out of bounds, kick it out of bounds, right? Like there's a time when it's a time.
Don't screw around and get cute. Just freaking do it.
Especially if you're coming out of the box, like that's like the one thing they tell you as a goalie. Like once you get out of that box, like you're free game, dude. Yeah. You know, you're the hunted. Right.
Yeah.
So just stop being an idiot. Like it was like one disaster as another. Like you just watched it quietly unfold, and it was like, oh, we got some momentum on this. Like, yes, they got a kick, a free kick, or whatever you want to call it. But then Belgium's just like, they just laughed at that. They're like, yeah, we'll be right back.
Yeah, we'll just do this, and then we'll coast the rest of the game. I mean,
and we'll wait for you guys to back. We'll backdoor you in front of the goal.
It felt a little embarrassing. We got
it was.
Yeah, it was. I definitely agree. Hey, the great soccer talk. Woo woo.
You know, it's amazing that we talked all this soccer. And I'll tell you something, Brian. Like, I never would have thought 30, 40 years ago that I would ever talk soccer. But I'll tell you, my kids got me involved in it.
Your two kids played it. You've watched a ton. You know what you're talking about.
It's a great sport, Brian. It really is. And I can see why it's a global sport. And I can see why, like, when you look at the videos of Mexico and, like, you know, obviously they're out, U.S. is out and Canada's out. But when you look at those videos of the rockets going off and stuff, and it's like, Jesus, this means something. It really does.
And in this day and age, we don't get enough of that. I mean, you can say you love the Yankees, you love the Red Sox or whatever, but it's a little different when it's your country and it's peaceful and it's fun. And that's sort of the takeaway, but it ended poorly. All right, buddy, we got to run. This has been episode 244 of Fan Base, a deep dive into the greatest rivalry in sports.
Sometimes historic events suck. But what shouldn't suck is learning about history. I do that through storytelling. History That Doesn't Suck is a chart-topping history-telling podcast chronicling the epic story of America, decade by decade, from the 18th century to the 20th. Original music and immersive sound design accompany us on our storytelling journey. Listen to and follow History That Doesn't Suck, an Odyssey podcast, available now on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Every week on the Moth Podcast, you'll hear true stories that will intrigue you, inspire you, and make you laugh.
He said, "Is there anything in your diet that might be spiking your blood sugar?" I said, "Sometimes I eat pizza until I'm unconscious." He said, "I think that might be it."
For real stories live on stage from comedians, astronauts, accountants, farmers, and people just like you, follow and listen to The Moth wherever you get your podcasts.